Bible says the message of the cross is
foolishness.
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 Foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Well, guys, welcome to this episode of the Foolishness Podcast with a focus on the Holy Spirit. This is part, what, 3 or 4, depending on if I included in the question time with this series. The goal of this was, I started off by asking the question, why do we gather? What are we doing? And saying to them, why are we here in church? Yes, we worship God. It's about His glory. We ask God various questions about where we'll live, who we'll marry, what our profession will be. But we never have to ask God about the call to go. The reason we are still here is because we're meant to be on mission in this world, living out the Great Commission. The second thing was unpacking the Ten Commandments. Why? To see that these are, in a good way, a religious system to lead Israel, to unpack God's plan so they could be led to the promised land. And of course, to us being in Christ, those commandments are fulfilled in a sense that Jesus said He came not to do away with them, but fulfill them. The law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, loving your neighbor as yourself. That is following, that is fishing. You hit a load for me in that, in the first part. Second part, Ten Commandments, question time. And here today, I'm going to be unpacking the Holy Spirit in a brief sense, but how we can misunderstand who He is. Going into this, please, guys, in the comment section, relax, okay? Some Christians believe the gifts are still for the day. Some don't. Someone like John MacArthur believes they've ceased, but still believes God can perform miracles if He chooses to. He just veers away from if tongues are for today. Many believe tongues are still for today. People vary on what tongues are. Was it only languages in Acts 2, or is there a kind of syllable, angelic? I'm not going to go into that too much in this sermon, but I am planning on hitting up a couple of people in the future, doing a whole series on the Holy Spirit, who He is, how people view Him, what all the gifts are, being exhaustive in that, maybe like a 5 or 6 part series when I have a good downtime to just unpack, get a bunch of people on from various camps. But for now, here is this focus on the Holy Spirit. And the call is, at the end of the conference, as you'll see, to challenge them. You've heard the call. You know God loves you. Hopefully some came to faith. Now we're called to go and live it out. But remember, even as Jesus told them to wait, we're not waiting anymore. He showed up at Pentecost 2,000 years ago, but we are still dependent upon His power, His leading. And I'll tell you personally, I believe the Holy Spirit can do whatever He wants today. I still believe tongues are relevant. I still believe that's a part of the church. Don't forbid it. So I'm not going to enforce my beliefs on people. That's your conviction. But as we unpack the Bible, as we aim to live this out, we should all be able to get along and celebrate the different offices. So here it is. Enjoy. Well, guys, where do we go? I mean, you got to know me on what, Friday night? I was tired and drained from the travel. We gathered at the conference and we said, what is the name of this conference? What is this all about? What is the focus? And so where do we go? We talked about following and fishing. We talked today about the Ten Commandments, which is really seeking God with everything and loving our neighbor. So if you were me, where would you end up? Do we hear all of this? File it as a good Christian weekend. We had some fun. We had some food. We made fun of my accent. Church, amen? And then we go out into the world and we forget. No. You almost want to look at this weekend as like the gospel, because God loved us and loves the world. We want to see the Ten Commandments as we just live these things, trusting in Him, not to gain salvation, but from salvation, not religiously, but through relationship. And so where should we go now? And really, Jesus answers that question for us. One of the verses I've been throwing at you all week to kind of brand it into our mind is this verse out of Matthew 28. And it's that verse where Jesus shows up and He's got the wounds, and there He is. He's obviously had His resurrected body prior, because He showed up to Thomas. And as the disciples are looking at Him, I read this verse, but I want to just read it to us again. But in Matthew 28, it said, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He says, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And then He finishes with this little saying. He said, behold, I am with you when? Always and even until the end of the age. Does anyone know what happens next?
He leaves. He takes off into heaven. Amen. Guys, I'm with you till the end of the day. See you later. Jesus shows up and said, I am with you until the end of the age. And right after this, the Bible says he takes off into heaven. What is going on? Is Jesus with him or not? How is Jesus with us to this day? God is in heaven. Jesus now resides there next to the Father. So who is it that's present with us today? Who is he speaking of? Holy Spirit. They were just singing about him a minute ago. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Guys, I'm with you. And he takes off into heaven because he's sending who? The Holy Spirit. But if we are honest, even when we sing about him, even when this funny sounding English guy is going to speak about him, even all that we know about the Holy Spirit, do we really know what to do with him today? Do we know how to understand him? The world can talk about God. God bless you. God this and God that. We can talk about Jesus, whether we're for him or opposed to him. We know who Jesus is. But the Holy Spirit, we kind of treat him like he's this mystical force that like gets on our food when we pray, or like sneaks around in our Christianity and somehow talks to us in some way. But is that really who he is? I mean, the Bible says in Genesis that in the beginning, who created? God. So God's the creator. But in Colossians 1, 15, 16, 17, it said all things were made by him, Jesus. But you know in Job 33, 4 what it says? It says the Spirit of the Lord created me. So God created in Genesis, Jesus in Colossians, and the Holy Spirit. Are we saying they are all one? Well, they're the Trinity, but yes, they're all God in three persons, amen? Why this is crazy is because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we don't know what to do with him, so much so that Jesus said something so crazy. He said this in John 16, 7. I tell you the truth, and praise God that we have a Savior who tells us the truth, amen? I tell you the truth, Brian, church. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus just said it's better that he tells them he'll never leave them nor forsake them than takes off into heaven. Why? So he can now send who? The Helper. And let's be realistic, guys. Jesus is not going to do this. But if he would have showed up at any time during this weekend while I was speaking, how many of you guys know I would have sat down right there in the front and have nothing else to say the whole weekend? Amen? You should be listening to Jesus over me. Amen? But what Jesus said is it's better than him being here is that he leaves. So who could be with us? The Holy Spirit. Because if Jesus is here with us in the conference, guess where he's going when we get done? He's going with me on a flight back to California. How are you going to see Jesus? Amen? Or you think he's going with you? You think he's going with you? No. Jesus is saying it's better that I leave so I can send who? The Holy Spirit, so he can be everywhere with you. He can counsel you, speak to you, minister to you, enlighten and bring to mind some of the things in the text. And think about it this way. If we were to go on a mission trip right now, this is my home church. Guys, we're going to, you know, Florida or Australia or Afghanistan. Which mission trip would you want to go on? Australia. A couple of you said Afghanistan though, right? But what if Jesus showed up and said, guys, we're all going to Afghanistan. Grab the donuts and the burritos, we're going. How many of you guys would feel good going to Afghanistan with Jesus? With Jesus, some of you would go with him. We would go, we would be bold, we say we're with our Lord and Savior. But Jesus said, better than to go with him is that we go with who? The Holy Spirit. This is what he's saying. Because if we're honest, we don't even know what to think about the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he's a he. He's not a thing or an it. He is a he. But he says it's to your advantage that I go away. And I could even say this, and I've been asking you this all weekend. What is the whole goal? What is the whole picture? I said the Bible is a story of marriage. I said the Bible is a story of Jesus coming to redeem us. But why? Well, because we walked with God in the garden, you would say. Adam and Eve walked with God. They looked at God. They could talk to God. I mean, every bit of advice that Adam got from God, it was only godly advice. Amen? Amen? Are you awake? But then as they fell, as they struggled, they were distanced from God. And what we see is God takes his Spirit from man. He says, no longer will my Spirit dwell with man. And at times in the Old Testament, we see the Spirit of God on certain people. On King David, on King Saul, on prophets and priests and kings. But this was taken to where no one had the Spirit of God. Only at times, and he didn't dwell fully in him the way he does today. So this goes throughout the pages of the Old Testament. Then we get to the New Testament, and what do we see? John the Baptist telling us, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, his cousin Jesus. But then John says this, I am unworthy to untie his sandals, the one who's coming after me. I now baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the what? Holy Spirit. I'm preaching a gospel of repentance. I'm calling the Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm calling the nation to repent. But after me is coming another who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You won't need to go to a priest. You don't need to go through a veil. You don't need to offer a sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus is the priest. Jesus is behind the veil. Jesus is the sacrifice. This is the promise that Jesus was speaking of. Like I said the other day, we need the cross. We need the blood. We live the Ten Commandments, but the whole goal is that we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus, prior to this, before he died, he said to them in Luke 24:49, behold, which means listen, pay attention, mark this, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city, that's Jerusalem, until you are clothed with what? Power from on high. He's literally saying, once you heard the message Friday night and we know that we're called to go, and once we heard this morning, we're going to love God and walk with him, I want the disciples of that day, wait for me in Jerusalem, or who I'm sending, because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you'll receive this power. Jesus tells this story throughout, and even Luke says this in Acts 1:8, and you've all heard this verse. It says, you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. If you follow the book of Acts, that's exactly where they went. So what he's saying is, as you come to faith, as you're walking with Jesus, as you wait for him, the Holy Spirit's going to show up and empower you. And notice all the places he lists there. As the disciples went out, the apostles went out, and this is us today. And so I'm walking us through this to get this picture of how this happens. Thousands of years without the Holy Spirit, without people being able to interact with him, only priests, only certain people having the anointing God for certain calls. And now we get to the book of Acts, and you all know the story. The book of Acts and Acts 2, they're gathered together there in the upper room, and suddenly they're praying on the day of Pentecost. And what takes place? Suddenly there's a sound of what? A rushing wind as like heaven. It entered the entire house, filling the room where they were sitting, and suddenly they begin to speak in tongues. And what happens? They are all filled with the Spirit of God. God was bringing back to man his presence. Every believer from then on would be filled with the Spirit of God. We have the power of God. We walk in the Holy Spirit. This is what he says, and the Bible says they began to speak in other languages. They began to speak in other languages, other tongues, and those men, the devout Jews outside the window, if I'm up here and we're all praying and speaking this, the men down there who'd come for the feast were able to hear. And some were saying, how do they understand our language? And some said, they must be drunk, amen? Not to getting drunk, but they said they must be drunk, amen? Don't get drunk, it's a sin, kids, amen? But my point is, as he says this, Peter, of all people who denied Jesus 3 times, rises up with boldness and he says, we're not drunk as what you suppose. But he says this, this is what was uttered through who? The prophet Joel, hundreds of years ago. This is a prophecy coming to pass on the day of Pentecost. And he tells those Jews as a sign against them to say God's about to do a work in many Gentiles. But now he's opening up the gospel to all. But he says, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And listen to this. This is the statement. In the last days, it shall be. This is how the last days are going to be. God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, that's all believers, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. 2,000 years ago, Peter and his fellows are speaking in tongues, and he shouts down to them, this is the prophet Joel, and this prophecy begins to come to pass. But you notice what it said? In the last days. When are the last days, guys? You've got to know there's a difference between the last days and the end times, amen? The last days are from the moment that Jesus arrived to the moment we go to be with him. The last days are from that day forward. The end times are the end times. But he said the last days will be when there will be prophecy. The last days will be the young men and visions and so on and so forth. And you might be sitting here saying, well, Brian, is this one of those crazy messages where you tell us you've got to have multiple fillings and all kinds of things of a Christian or not? No. We're going to teach the Bible today. We're going to hear the Bible. You need to know God loves you. You have the power of God. But you also need to leave here saying, Holy Spirit, what have you called me to? Where are you leading me? As we asked questions just a moment ago, when I joked saying I told my son, just read the Bible. Likewise, I can't tell you what God has for you. We can have the most information, the most resources, know the Bible and NIV translation, but that call for you to go is something that only Spirit can lead you into. Amen? That's what you need. This is where you come into it. We got fed with food today. Now it gets fed spiritually, and now let's go out into the world. And you might be saying then, based on some denominations, all this talk of the Holy Spirit, do I have the Holy Spirit? Well, here's what 1 Corinthians 12:3 says. No one can say that Jesus is Lord unless by the what? The Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, it's because the Holy Spirit opened your eyes. You came to faith because of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said to Peter, who do you say I am? He said, you're the Messiah. And he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but who? My Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit convicted him, opened his eyes. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John 3, probably hiding for the other leaders, coming to him, saying, we see what you're doing. He says, you must be born again to be able to see this. You must have been birthed spiritually to understand this. Some people say, well, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. You can be a believer without the Holy Spirit, but that's not Bible. Bible teaches this in Ephesians 1:13. Church, when you heard the word of truth, when you heard the gospel, that's the good news of your salvation, and when you believed in Jesus, at that moment, church, believer, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, amen, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. When I came to faith in 2004, like I said, divorce and suicidal at that moment, I encountered the Holy Spirit, my eyes are open, I repented and turned to God, God did all that work, and now I've had the Holy Spirit inside of me since then. Leading, directing, speaking, convicting, challenging, all the things going on in you, that's the Holy Spirit. The other night when 7 or 8 people came down, that's the Holy Spirit. Whatever God's showing you in this conference, many of you off to the side have said, hey, I feel the Lord saying that, I feel the Lord saying this. Well, who is saying that? The Holy Spirit. I know Christian friends who say things like, you know, I really feel called to coach the baseball team. Who's calling you to do that? The Holy Spirit. I really feel called to do this. Who's calling you to do that? 2 Corinthians 1:21. It is God who establishes us with Christ and who has anointed us. That's important. Anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. I've been sealed. I've been saved. I've been set apart. So if you are here in Christ. But notice what he said there. It is God that what? Anointed us. You hear this word a lot. That person's anointed. This person's not anointed. The anointing's strong. The anointing's this. The anointing's that. Can I tell you, if you are a believer, you are anointed once and for all. Amen? This person doesn't have more of an anointing. You didn't say the wrong thing and you have less of an anointing. God isn't playing favorites in that sense. It says this in 1 John 2:20. You have been anointed. What does this mean? It means in the Old Testament, when King David, when King Saul, when the prophet, priest, or king was set apart, they would take the oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and they would pour it out, and it would be doused over that person. And that oil was symbolic of, now I've been set apart. Now I've been called. Now I'm filled with God's presence and call. I'm his workmanship, like we talked the other day. I'm going to live out this call. And can I tell you, the same way they were all anointed, every believer has been anointed for a call and purpose. Amen? All of you, if you are a prophet, priest, king, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, every person in this room has been anointed. And how can I help us understand this? Let's be really honest, amen. We've ate together, we've made fun together, we had a silly time last session. How many of you guys, honestly, have ever tried to walk on water? There's no way only 5 of you have. How many of you guys and women have tried to walk on water? Your guys, I was going to tell the pastor the church is crazy, but he's raising his hand too. Okay, I've tried to do that. Why wouldn't I do that? The Bible says, greater things will you do. Do you know why I've never walked on water? The only one reason. I'm not anointed to walk on water. I don't need to walk on water. If I was anointed to walk on water, we'd be filming me in the back right now and getting millions of views on YouTube, and we'd be loving it. Do you know who was anointed to walk on water? Jesus. Peter even walked on water for a moment because God called him to, but his faith failed him. But my point is, I don't need to walk on water because it brings me glory. But you know what I'm anointed to do? To preach today. I'm anointed as a husband. I'm anointed as a father. I'm anointed to do every single thing I'm called to do. I said it the other day. There's exactly enough time in every day, in every moment. You are gifted exactly enough. You're located perfectly enough. There's no time. There's no chance. We have all been set apart and anointed, and this is why it's crazy. Even Jesus, the Savior of the world, was anointed at a certain time and had a ministry for a certain amount of years. Yes, he was perfect. He was God in the flesh, fully God, fully man, had this sarx nature. But listen to what it says in Luke. Because Jesus shows up and his cousin John, this is the Lamb of God. And Jesus comes down to the Jordan and he's baptized. And right there we see the Trinity, God the Father affirming the Son. We see the Spirit descend in the form of a dove. We see Jesus coming up out of the water, and Jesus goes immediately into the synagogue in Luke 4. And listen to what he says. He says in Luke 4 and 18, the Spirit, who we're talking about, the Holy Spirit, amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and that word is important, epi, he's upon me. The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me. Amen? Here's the important thing. Jesus didn't do anything in that sense that we need to know about for the first 30 years of his life. He would even say to his disciples, my hour has not come, the day has not come. He had a specific call. His ministry began in the Jordan River. Yes, he was perfect. Yes, there was no sin. But right here, he's anointed. Jesus' ministry only lasted for 3.5 years, and it is still changing the world to this day. Amen? The same anointing he had is in this room on every one of you. We blow it. We miss it. We're all over the place. We're going through puberty and struggles and facing the world and wondering what's wrong with us. All the people in the Bible went through it as well. Amen? But he was anointed, and I am anointed for my call. He goes in the synagogue and he freaks them out because he opens the Isaiah scroll and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And for those of you who have been asking, what is my call? Your call is in one of these lines right here. Jesus' ministry involves all of this, and we all live this out. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has called me to set me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, we see healing, liberty to those who are oppressed, being set free, and victory over sin, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, everything that we see Jesus doing, yes, he's divine, but he operates under the power of who? The Holy Spirit. You say, really, Brian? When Luke writes the book of Acts, he starts off in Acts 1:1. Listen to what he says. In the first book, O Theophilus, this is who he's writing to, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. Listen to this. After he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit. Are you saying everything Jesus did, he did through the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what he just said. He closes the book of Acts. You know what he says in Acts 28:25? That Paul was disagreeing with the leaders and he said this to them. They departed after Paul had made one statement. He told the religious leaders, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to you and your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, meaning that the Holy Spirit was who was speaking through the pages of the Old Testament. What that should mean for me and for you, for some of you who said, Brian, what does my ministry look like? What does my call look like? What does my life look like? It looks anointed, trusting in God, dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It looks like we're going to pray a bit later and say, Lord, show us our giftings and our talents. It means, Lord, I'm laying my life down to see whatever you want to do to change this great nation all the more to follow God. Why is this important? Because the same Spirit that anointed Jesus is the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. And what this means to me is now as a believer, I have options to make. I can say, well, I'm going to live a lowly life because I'm not walking in the power of the Spirit. And I haven't got to learn to love my wife better. I haven't learned to treat people better. I've got to learn to do things in the way God calls me to. Or I can say, no, I've been anointed. I've been called to crucify some flesh. I've been given the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power. Literally, it means dynamite. Because I remember back then when I was a believer, one of the verses that really led me to faith was reading this verse in Galatians 5 where Paul talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. I just want to read that for a moment over us as younger people to say, well, when I wrestle with these things, how do I overcome? When I'm walking out this call now and I want to lean upon this, I can lean upon that. And here's what Paul says as we mature. You see, guys, when you became a believer, that seed was sown in your heart. And what does the seed do? It goes down deep where it's dark. And what needs the residue there for it to grow? Water, living water. So you come to faith, and some of those who might have prayed the other night, they're going to struggle with things they say, things they do. We all are to some degree, but as that living water is poured out constantly, and we're washed in the Word, and the Spirit of God speaks, and we grow in conviction and maturity. See, the Bible calls us to have childlike faith, but doesn't call us to be childish, amen? Calls us to put away childish things. I'm meant to trust and believe, but I'm meant to also be more mature. In Galatians, he's beginning to talk to us about this person of the Holy Spirit who I'm trying to get us to focus on. Listen what Paul says. It says in Galatians 5:18, if you were led by the Spirit of God, you were not under the law. We talked about the Ten Commandments today, how we set free through faith by the power of God. We're not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And he tells us what the law is. Now the law and the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage. And when I was an unbeliever reading this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my whole life. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, I mean, envy, drunkenness, not so much. I won't say the next thing. And things like these. All these things he's saying are the way we live in the world. And if I want to live like this, I'm not really standing on and trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit. But he says this, I warn you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And see, let's talk about sin for a moment. There's habitual sin. The sin that I'm trying to hide from you, I'm trying to keep from you, I'm trying to go home and live into, taking advantage, doing people over. That's the habitual sin. But then the sin you're going to struggle with when someone cuts you off, or when you say something you don't mean, or you do something you're like, really? That's what I did? That's what I fell for? That's what I said to this person? I shouldn't have done that? That's the difference. So many times people say, well, how do I know I'm a believer? Well, is there a conviction? Are you habitually trying to lie and deceive and take advantage? That is not good. We should check where we are. And what he's saying for us is, if we're in the Lord, there's going to be a conviction. And also with that conviction and that seed, there's going to be a fruit. Some of you might have seen a change in your life when you came to faith. Some of you might need to depend on the Lord more, as you'll see with some of the stories I'm going to share about myself, how I had to learn. Amen? And he says this. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. I would have looked at that as an unbeliever and said, well, I walk like that sometimes. I'm loving to people. I don't tell everyone to bleep, bleep, bleep. I don't get mad at everyone. I'm good. I would have justified it. But coming to faith, I said, wow, there's a way I can live that really doesn't honor God. And I need the Holy Spirit. I didn't just say all that because Jesus was leaving to send another so I can have this Holy Spirit experience. I said, Lord, first and foremost, you want me to live walking with him. Allow him to do a work on me. You see, before I was a Christian, I told you, I couldn't love my wife. I could love my wife only when she kept my conditions, which means not unconditional, amen? And I was an unbeliever. I didn't really have peace. I had peace if everything in my life was going on, but that's not the peace that surpasses understanding. The peace that surpasses understanding is when you miscarry, or when your house burns down, or when your life falls apart, or when everyone's opposed to you, and you can still say, but Lord, it's only about you. Peace isn't making your life good enough with the white picket fence and the bank accounts perfect and I better finish the sermon on time. That's just you controlling your life. Peace is when the world is crazy and there's all kinds of wars and chaos and you can stand in the promises of God and say, though he slay me, I'm going to trust the Lord. Amen? I could never sleep. I was always stressed. I was always worn out. I had so much chaos. And I'll tell you, it lists all these things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I never had self-control. I was disciplined. I skated 6 hours a day. I used to train like Bruce Lee. I was disciplined to what I wanted, but self-control. Can I tell you something about England? England is really violent. Russia's crazy. Let's just put that on another planet over there, amen? Russia's crazy. I mean, bears, vodka, and violence, but Liverpool, England is rough. You grow up as a kid in school, people getting in your face, and you become very passive-aggressive. I'm very passive aggressive. That's how I was raised. We'd be out skateboarding and some guys would come walking down the street and for whatever reason, they're just in your face and it's either fight or flight. I brought that into my marriage. I'm super mellow, but someone comes in here with a gun, I'm gonna be the first guy over there. Someone starts threatening your wife, I'm gonna be the first person to smash. I mean, it's the way I was raised. All these fights, all this trouble, things with the police, I was passive aggressive. And so my example for you of how the Holy Spirit worked in my life was probably 10 years ago. You know, we bought a house many, many years ago, 20 years ago, thankfully, way back then when you could still buy a house in Huntington Beach, amen? Our mortgage is low. But I remember going through this season and I went to speak at a Calvary Chapel in like a Mission Viejo, you know, south of our house. And their church was getting renovated. So it's like, would you come down and share your story and speak? And so I'm getting up to speak and it's this beautiful sunny day and I'm excited to see all these people and I'm preaching like Jesus, you know, we're on the grass and look at this beautiful picture. And the pastor's like, hey, you know, I just feel like I have a word for you. I'm like, okay. And he has two or three of the pastors come over to me on the microphone. And one of the pastors says, you know, I also feel like someone's gonna come alongside you for a year and it's gonna be really difficult for your life. I mean, how cool is that when you're about to preach, someone says that? This is literally what he said to me. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, is someone gonna come into ministry? Is someone gonna say something? Is someone gonna be crazy? Is it gonna be some annoying friend? So I don't think anything of it. And I preach and I go home. And so we have a neighbor and our houses are joined together. And her parents own the house, and she's very cool, but she has a brother who is very crazy. And suddenly, within a few weeks, this guy moves in. Dad doesn't want to be there. The daughter's off somewhere else. He moves in. He's older. And what he starts doing is, I go out to go surfing one day, and he's normal for like a few weeks, but as I go out to the garage, my friend pulls up to pick me up from surfing, and he's playing Greg Laurie, of all people, on the radio. Amen? Should be praying Greg Laurie, it's great. But apparently the neighbor doesn't like Greg Laurie, he doesn't like Christianity, he has a major problem with this. So as I come back from surfing, this guy for hours has been playing pornos in his house with the music real loud over the wall so my wife and my kids can hear this. Is this not crazy to you? Playing this. He starts going outside and banging the trash cans, playing crazy rap that cusses about this and that all hours of the night. And I'm calling his dad and I'm calling the sister and they're saying, oh, you know, he probably doesn't mean it. He needs some help, blah, 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 blah. As this goes on, he begins going outside and when he knows we're home, he would smash a baseball bat on the wall. He started driving down the alleys really crazy, smashing everyone's trash cans. I am not kidding. All the neighbors saying, what is going on with this guy? It got to where it was so crazy. I remember hearing these noises of like plastic BB guns flying over the backyard where he would shoot them up, not into our backyard, but when my kids were out there. I mean, how crazy is this? Guys, where I come from in England, my family was bad. My cousins, the people I was around, I mean, it's crazy. They were into some crazy stuff, but I'm a Christian. And I've read Galatians 5. I'm going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? So this keeps going on and going on and going on. I'm like, Lord. And I remember years ago, I would get into trouble. I'd get into fights. And when I was going through my divorce at the time, people in Liverpool, they don't like get out of a truck and walk over to you and flex on you. They just swear at you and headbutt you. So you got to be ready right away. Amen? I'm just telling you. Everyone in England is a soccer hooligan. The Queen, Mary Poppins, all of them. Everyone's crazy. In England, you don't get this close to people. In California, they get out the truck, they walk over, and they tell you what they're going to do to you. So I would just be getting into fights and all this before I was a believer. I'm a Christian now, and I've read the Bible, and I've got the fruit of the Spirit. And now this neighbor is living next to me, who is crazy, who years ago I would have just jumped over the wall. And so we're coming back from downtown one night, and I pull the car up, and here he comes in his crazy car. All over. And listen, it's crazy. I could get stressed thinking about it, but I have the Holy Spirit, amen? And he comes pulling up like this, and here's how our garages are. Here's our garage, and here's his garage, and they're just attached. And so he's pulling up. I'll flip it this way. And as he pulls up, I just kind of like stand there, and I don't like flex, you know, and I'm just kind of like mellow. He pulls up, and he's got his window up, and I'm like, hey, man. He's like, what? I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Hey, man, you know, it's getting out of control. What is? I could get mad now, believe me. If my dad was here, he'd be saying other words right now. And as I'm talking to this guy, he's like, do you know how crazy I am? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're playing pornos over the wall. You're playing loud things. You're smashing this, smashing that. And he goes, you know how crazy I am? And he pulls his car in the garage, and then he gets out. And there's the line of his garage. So he, in America, they won't step on your property because then like they really do want to fight you and you have to defend yourself. He's standing in the garage shouting at me. And what I forgot to tell you was the last time he did this with the music, my wife had called the police and they've came to the house. And the reason why I stopped this guy was because while I was sleeping in the kids' room one night, the night she called the police, I heard a massive thud on the garage. And I came out the next morning, there was a footprint on the garage, there was a baseball bat on the wall, and the side of my wife's car had been keyed. Guys, years ago, I would have just said to my cousins, can you come over, I'll pay for the trip, this guy wants to talk to you. I'm not kidding, that's crazy. When you're a dad, there's just a different kind of energy and force and power you have, amen. Do not get in fights with dads, by the way, they will kill people, amen. This guy goes in the garage, and he's standing there looking at me. And literally, I remember I just would not clench my fist. I'm just like, bro. And then my wife gets out the car. And she's like, did you tell him yet? And he doesn't know she's there yet. And he steps out the garage and he goes, you're effing wife and you're bleeping this and you're bleeping that. And she called the cops. And how many of you guys know, as a man, it's already over. Amen? I got on probation years ago. I'm looking at the guy. And listen, my son was an all-star baseball player, tiny kid, catcher, just a beast. And I always told him, if I'm never here and this guy comes over, get one of your bats and deal with it. And I am not kidding. As the Lord is my witness, I'm standing here and I'm telling my wife, go in the house, go in the house. And she's thinking, oh, this is going to be so bad. And he's over here shouting and flexing and like, just I'm crazy. And my son from out of the garage comes out with a bat. And I'm not kidding. I'm there, he has a baseball bat, the guy can't see him, and I look at him, and I say, Lord, and it's like the Lord says, self-control. I got in so much trouble with the police, I had so many things on my record, I'd always, as soon as I clenched my fist back in the day, I'd just be fighting, because I was afraid, that's just how it was in England. But as I stood there, I said, bro, you, and I did say, like I shouldn't have said, you are so blessed I'm a Christian. If I wasn't a Christian, and I said, I didn't swear, I'm not going to go that far, but I just remember coming away from that and knowing I had self-control, amen. Within a week, our church had been praying, we'd been praying, 5 o'clock in the morning, one morning, he is smashing the inside of his house where our kitchens are, smashing the wall, we're praying, I'd even fasted a day and said, Lord, and this, I got very Pentecostal, Lord, I'm a child of God, no weapon formed against you will prosper, why is this happening? You know what's crazy? You know what the Lord brought to mind? It had been, honestly, almost a year. He brought to mind this guy's prophecy, and I'm like, why would this guy say this to me? This is crazy, right? It had been almost a year. My wife calls the cops. This guy would always do this for 15, 20 minutes and then stop or leave. So there was never any evidence. The cops come. It's 5 or 6 in the morning. I go out the front to meet them saying, Lord, please end this. And as the cop is talking to me, he's like, what is he doing now? The guy runs out of his house with a 40, throws it into the road across the street, starts swearing at the cop. 5 or 6 cop cars show up. They arrest him. He's done. Trouble, restraining order, all the rest. Amen. Can we give it up for the Lord? But my point is, what? Here's my point. This isn't how I was raised. This isn't how I deal with it. This person of the Holy Spirit, when I said, Lord, that this I'm looking at right now, self-control is the only reason. I mean, how many of you guys would have had fun rolling around the garage with this guy? I mean, swearing at your wife, he's keyed your car. I mean, some of you guys are putting your hands up. Put them down, you guys. I'm kidding. Leading the church astray here. But my point is, God had to deal with me and my anger. God had to deal with me and my issues. Me and my marriage, me and my walk, me and my call. So I want to talk in a moment about how the Holy Spirit can operate. But I'm saying for you, as we leave here, to be able to walk in this with the self-control. Why? Because as you live out this life, as you have these interactions with that family member, or as I've said, the boss or the whoever or yourself, Ezekiel 36:26, what does God say? I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I'll put within you and I will remove from you the heart of stone and will place within you the heart of what? Flesh. So when I leave here today, I'm saying, Lord, I don't know who's going to be on the plane that's going to be rude. I don't know who you're going to go work for. I don't know where you're going to go to school. I know what's going to happen in your marriage. But I learned then, listen, and I remember just that week surfing and doing certain things and just always learning, Lord, whenever I just think of someone being rude now, I just think of self-control, self-control. And I won't even let myself say bad things because then I'm going to react if I say it. I'm going to feel shame and guilt, and I should to a degree, amen. But I'm saying this, why? Because what we've done is we've allowed the craziness of some ministries to get so radical with the Holy Spirit that we don't even know what to do with him anymore. Like I said, he's like this mystical force, or here's the worship leader, and we're singing about the Holy Spirit. What are they going to do? Is it bed feathers and gold dust? Does everyone know? We need the Holy Spirit every day. I need him to preach. I need him to love my family. I need him to receive love from God. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit in all the things that we do. And I say this because Paul writes to the church in Corinthians, and he says this in 2 Corinthians 13:4, and this is important. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God is for you." And he says this, which is crazy and we overlook it. "And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." That word for fellowship, you have a ministry here in the church, Koinonia. I'm meant to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I'm not meant to just read. I'm not meant to just believe. I'm meant to also walk in fellowship. That night, the only reason. And listen, here's what's crazy. As this was happening a few weeks earlier, some of the cops who I knew came to my house one night because of him. And I asked the cops, "What would you do?" And I am not kidding. The cop said to me, "I'd wait till he jumps over my wall and I would just shoot him." I mean, that's how bad it was getting. I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? But I'm saying that's how bad. My fellowship with the Holy Spirit then is what helped me and empowered me. And this might sound crazy sitting in church, but you know the rest of your lives as you live this out. The neighborhood you live in, the crazy neighbors, or the in-laws, often known as the outlaws. Amen. Wait till you get married. I have great relationships of mine, so it's all good if they're watching. What's up, you guys? But my point is, we need the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect hanging out with him. He is a he. The Bible says Ananias and Sapphira lied to him. Ephesians says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. It's often been said that when people feel ignored in the church, there's no one more ignored in Christianity than the Holy Spirit. He's the one that did work last night with God, with Jesus. The reason the cross and blood exists is to bring us back to God. We have this deposit in us. Get used to hearing his voice when he convicts. And especially at your age, start saying, "Lord, where are you leading me?" Some of you have said, "I feel called to this nation." Well, that sounds like God. I can't go into it for lack of time, but guys, read the New Testament and look at the Apostle Paul, and very crazy things happen. I've taught on that kind of stuff before, but there'll be times where it says the Spirit of Jesus said this and the Spirit of God said this. He told them, "Don't go here, don't go there." They were in such fellowship with him that they knew his voice. They knew what was the Lord speaking. For those of you talking about marriage earlier, get to know his voice in such a way, because we need to walk in the Holy Spirit in these ways. We need to walk in him with the practical things of life. As I traveled through the airport today, or as all the people at the counters the other day were kind of being crazy to me because I couldn't figure out my flights. We need to spend more time with him alone as we pray, as we read, as we seek his face. And here's the thing. The Bible teaches three ways the Holy Spirit operates in our lives. Three prepositions, and there's these three Greek words, and you've probably heard them, the para, the en, and the epi. What that means is the Holy Spirit in Brian's life, the Holy Spirit in your life operates these ways. He's with you. When you came to faith, he lives and dwells inside of you. He's with you. The second way is he's in you as well as with you. He's ministering, he's moving. And the third way, he's upon you. When the book of Acts says the Holy Spirit will come upon you, he's going to move and do ministry. He's going to manifest his presence at times. When Jesus says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it's because now there's going to be this unction to operate in this way. And because we see the craziness in altar zone, the chaos of that, I'll tell you that for me, since I came to faith, I've seen the Lord move in so many ways that I just cannot deny the fact that the Holy Spirit still operates in these ways today. Amen? I want to read it for you just to understand what I'm saying, but think about it like this. I believe we don't see as many signs, miracles, and wonders because we want to do it so we can get glory for having a conference where he's present. I believe a lot of what we're seeing out there, you know, go watch most YouTube videos. It's always about someone growing someone's foot or healing something there. I remember a guy came and shared with me at a skate park. "Hey man, do you mind if I share with you?" "Yeah, what do you want to talk about?" "I just feel like God really wants to heal your foot." He didn't know who I was. "What do you mean?" And he prays for me and he shows me my foot's growing, and we get done and he's like, "All right man, take it easy." And I'm like, "Are you going to talk to me about Jesus?" And I'm thinking, like, even if my foot was wrong and off shape, amen, and you healed me, I'm going to hell with an offset foot now, amen? I'm saying that to the point of this is how we've abused it. We've got to a point where it's so much about that, but not about what God says. And here's what I mean. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:1. Paul writes to the church, And he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, because he's concerned for them, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. And he addresses their paganality and the way they were living, and they were distracted. But he goes down here, and listen to what he says in verse 4. He tells you what God does in our life. He tells you what Jesus does. And he tells us how the Holy Spirit operates when he's upon us. He says in verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. He puts gifts with Spirit. In verse 5, he says there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Why? Because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus shows us the picture of how to serve. And then he even says here in verse 6, there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So God is the overseer who has it all structured, who's watching from above. Jesus is who comes in and does the service and shows us how to serve the world. But it's the Holy Spirit who is the one who enables us with the gifts. He's the one who convicts. He's the one who empowers us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. He's the one we're called to have fellowship with. And I don't know who has what gifts and where these are. But I just thought, because we would have got to know each other by now, I want to give you some examples. I'm just going to barely touch on, obviously for time, to say, here's how I've seen these things operate in my life. I say this because many ministries are going crazy with this stuff, and we need to have a biblical foundation. Amen? I can't come and preach Jesus and the gospel, but leave out the person of the Holy Spirit. So when we think about this, you see in Scripture things like an utterance of wisdom. What would a word of wisdom be? What would an utterance of wisdom be? It would be something that someone knows that's not natural. So in the Old Testament, when Joseph suddenly knows there's a famine coming and he better make a good decision, you could say that's an understanding, a word of wisdom, amen? You hear it in here and you see like a word of knowledge. What would that be? Jesus at the well, and this woman comes up to him saying, I see that you're a prophet, and he begins to minister to her about living water, and Jesus knows something that no one else can know, that she has five husbands, amen? He speaks this to her, and she's convicted, and she goes into the city and tells him, come see a man who knew everything about me. I say this because for me in my life, the whole situation with that neighbor, I wasn't really praying and interceding till I realized, wait a minute, that pastor told me a year ago, someone is going to come alongside of you that is going to be difficult for you. That is a word of what? Knowledge. He knew something he couldn't know. He doesn't know the guy's name. I had no idea what would happen. I've never seen that pastor again, but he said something in that season. I remember when I was coming to faith, and there's me and my wife trying to understand our marriage. Thank you, Jesus, reading all these marriage books. I remember being in the shower saying, Lord, do you want me to focus on marriage ministry? We had wanted to go get matching names, Brian and Tracy, and so I went to get a tattoo, and I was praying that day, Lord, if you want me to step into marriage ministry, tell me now, let me know. I go to this guy that night, the second time I'd met him, and he's sitting there about to tattoo my arm, and the guy that's with him from Norway I'd never met, and he said, hey man, I feel like I need to say this to you. And he said, God's given me this picture, I don't know nothing about your life, but I can see these two pillars, and God's going to build a bridge in the middle of it, and he wants to use this bridge to unify marriages. He wants to use this bridge to strengthen marriages. And my friend who tattoos says, you know you're meant to do marriage ministry, right? That was it. That's a word that I needed to hear, that I asked God. I went home, I wrote a book, I've been doing marriage ministry ever since, amen? Is that about me? No, but it's about the Lord. I say that because there was a movie years ago that I actually love. It's called Hard Flip. It's a Christian film. It was out. I was at a church service one day. I was a deacon coming down the altar, and a lady I'd never met before, just met her that day. She's preaching in the altar, and it's getting, you know, very Pentecostal, like the old church, and I'm walking up, and I'm like, Lord, I don't want someone to try and prophesy over me or try and say something or push me over. I don't want to deal with any of that. I was kind of getting tired with this forced Christianity, amen? And the lady looks at me, and she's from the south, and she's like, Brian. And she's like, Brian. And she told me, you're going to have a ministry to do with film. She said, you're going to have a ministry to do with this. And she says it to me. I get home that night, and the Bible says to not treat prophecies with contempt. Amen. I get a phone call from a pro surfer, a friend of mine. Says, Brian, this is going to sound crazy. I just finished this Christian film on surfing, and my buddy wants to make a movie, and he wants you to help produce this Christian film on skateboarding. I mean, the same day, amen? I helped the guy. He produced it. It's out there in the world. The guy from Dukes of Hazzard, Patricia Arquette. But I'm saying, I would never have done it if it wasn't for that word, if it wasn't direct. I wouldn't give 3 to 6 months of my life if the Lord didn't speak. Guys, and here's the thing. You don't know if any of this is real. You don't get to. But for me, I'm standing before God today, and this is as practical as I see it. This is the Holy Spirit moving in my life over and over and over. Remember being preaching in a church. I'm just saying this to help you to see. You might lean towards these areas and feel this. Don't practice this and all the things you're getting sold. Just let the Holy Spirit speak. But I remember being in a service and I was preaching this very teaching message. And it was like the Lord said, there's a lady in here. And when she was 6, 7, she had this traumatic experience. And it was like the Lord said, she was molested. And he said this as I was preaching, and I always pray when I'm preaching, Lord, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. And so there's about as many people here in this college age thing, and I'm not trying to go anywhere, and I always say, Lord, if that's you, let me know later on. And as I get done, I get to the stage, I just say, hey, I just feel like the Lord is showing me, and when I said it and I stepped out, it was like he just downloaded, you were this age, I didn't go too deep, but this is what happened. The Lord showed me you're at this age and the Lord wants to deal with it this week. There was a friend of mine that was visiting for one service and we get done and I didn't even say come down. It went altar. I said, if that's you, will you just come and see me later? I want to pray for you. This is personal. Everyone goes out and eats and I come back in the room and the friend of mine is sitting in tears in the front row and she literally says, that happened to me when I was 7 and the person who did it just passed away and I haven't talked to my mom in years because she stayed close with them and I told God, you need to deal with this week. This is too much of a burden for me to handle. Amen. She got prayed for. She gave it to the Lord. She went back. She reconciled. Doesn't that sound like the kind of thing the Holy Spirit would be doing? Taking the burden there to edify? We could go into all these things, you know, miracles, signs, wonders, all the rest, I get it. But I do want to say this, and I'll close in a few moments, I know for time. But one of the most controversial topics of people has always been the gift of tongues, amen? I'm just going to give you a brief theology of how I understood this. We were going to talk about it even earlier, but the book of Acts showed up, and they all speak in different languages. And we can see that's languages that someone could hear. And this is just my perspective. There's many perspectives, but as a Christian, I do feel like we're able to have these conversations and say, Lord, what are you doing with this? Great men or women that I respect don't believe these things are for today, but I do. Why? Because I see in the book of Acts, these tongues are given. And the Bible says, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to man, but to who? God, because no one understands them. That means if you took every language in the world and put them around this person who was speaking in tongues, there's a way they could be speaking that no one could understand. So what language are they speaking? Another language to God. But what the Bible says is the Spirit who gives you the ability, the Spirit gives utterance. What the Bible says is the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Are you guys following me? I was speaking at a church in Australia one time, a very reformed Calvinistic church, and the pastor said, would you preach on the charismatic? And I literally said in service, if this lady right here, right now, stood up and spoke in tongues, I said, who would interpret? And they all kind of looked around, and I said, no one would interpret. Because no one believes the gift operates. No one believes that someone's going to speak in tongues. No one's going to step out in faith. But the Bible says the Spirit gives utterance. He enables us. Amen? But he says, you'll prophesy according to your faith. I go to churches where sometimes they're so hungry to press into those things that people are pressing into here. And I'll say it like this. I'd got in so much trouble with the police when I was going through the divorce of my wife. I couldn't even leave the country. I didn't leave the country for 9 years. I was at our old church, sitting in the front row. And you guys all know who Katy Perry is, right? Her parents used to go to our church. And they will preach, and a lot of the way they operate is in tongues. I'd barely just met them, and I'm sitting in the front row. I hadn't left the country in 9 years. I was thinking, Lord, how are you going to deal with this? I just became a citizen. Her dad's preaching. And as he starts preaching, he just stops in the middle and starts speaking in tongues. And he's pointing to me. And I'm just like, okay, this is going to be interesting. What's going to happen? Guys, I'm just telling you this because this is what happened. And this is important, right? You're going to discredit certain people because of their theology. You might never know what they think, but it doesn't mean God won't use people. They're going to be more overly spiritual. I said this with Pastor the other day. All the teachers want you to teach. All the prophets want you to prophesy. All the evangelists want you to go. So we all get in our holy huddles and we don't all work together. Amen. Everyone's pointing at everyone else. Her dad begins to speak and the mom comes over and she points at me and she's like, Brian, you're going to begin to travel. I'd never been to Australia. you're going to go to Australia and God's going to do this, 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 this. I'd never been to Australia as a skateboarder. That's one of the first places you go. In 3 weeks, my friend, Pastor Simon Clegg from Sydney, who I'd never met at the time, calls me up and says, hey, will you come speak this conference in Sydney? I get my communication through immigration so I can travel. Why am I saying this? Because these were all things in my life, the neighbor, that girl, all these things. What should we be thinking when we think about the gift and how the Holy Spirit moves? That he is gentle. I've heard him understood like a car. You can drive a car safely, or you can be all over the road, all over the place, being dangerous. Amen. It's more about you. I don't need him to do stuff here today. If he wants to speak to you, so be it, Lord. Speak to someone if you want to do that. But we're teaching right now. We're available for what he wants to do. But I'm saying it to say, as you go out and you live and bear fruit, as you go out and fellowship with him, some of you might have these gifts. Some of you might operate in this way. The Lord might have... I mean, the Bible doesn't tell you where you should live, doesn't tell you who you should marry. We see that the Bible talks about Timothy and stepping into that gift. Why? Because we need to know where does the... Some of you said this to me, I feel called to this place, I feel called to that. Who's the one saying that to you? It's the Holy Spirit. We're to test the prophecies, allow for these things. And look what he says in verse 7, I'll just read it. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, meaning within the body, if the Holy Spirit moves, it's for the church. And what he says is, they are all empowered by one and the same Spirit, and listen to this, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Bible says he gives to everyone some way to operate, some way to be part of the body of Christ. Are you in this office? Do you operate in these gifts? And I know I'm stretching us all here today, but we've got through a lot of stuff. Amen. So what does this mean? What it means for us is, I asked you the first few days, what are we doing here? I came out here to share what God did in my life, to encourage you as an evangelist, to tell us how we can continue living this, whether it's the next election or whether the Lord returns, whatever's going on in the world, that all we need to do every day, we joke talking about, you know, flat earth and aliens and all the rest of it. Enjoy it all. Talk about it. But just daily when you get up, have real faith. Really trust in the Lord. Really allow the Holy Spirit to fellowship with you. Get to know the text so you can safeguard from the chaos of the enemy. But trust, press in. Because I'd like to stay in contact with most of you and hear you say, Brian, I'm going to do a ministry here. I'm marrying this person. I'm having these experiences. The Holy Spirit's saying that. Why? Because Peter told them, as Joel said, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, but what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How is this church standing? How is the ministry of the gospel going forth? All by the power of the Spirit of God. And one of my favorite verses, Romans 8:14, all who are led by the what? Spirit of God are the sons of God. Can we stand to our feet for a moment? And I like sometimes this empty atmosphere as we just invite the band up even to worship. Let's just create a bit of space for the Lord where you now, not so much focus on what I'm saying, but focus on the Lord. Where you say, as I said the first day, I love that blind Bartimaeus, as Jesus walked by, he wouldn't stop but pressing into the Lord. As the woman reached out to touch the hem of his garment, she knew that he was the one with the healing touch. We see in Scripture a hunger for God. We don't come to hear a preacher. Yes, God uses that. But we come here today to press into him. So could we just close our eyes for a moment and just you focus on the Lord. You just ask the Lord, what have you gifted me with? What have you done in my life? Where are you leading me? I've talked to some of you about big projects that are very practical. That's how the Holy Spirit works too. We see it in the Old Testament. I've talked to some of you say, I'm seeking the Lord for answers. Well, guys, we are in church. They were in an upper room. We see the power of God constantly poured out on people. And though we have the Holy Spirit, we want more of him daily, poured out living water, speaking in like that oil. Let's just open up our hands and just listen for the Lord. Let's just say, God, we ask for more of you today. Lord, you're a mighty but gentle God, and you operate in the gentle God, in that soothing wind, in that breeze. And I pray that you would begin to speak to people, God. Speak to their heart. Show them their call. Are they going to pastor somewhere? Are they going to marry this person? Are there specific things in their life that they need you to affirm even now? That girl that day, God, and she needed to be touched from heaven to hear and release. I don't know what your people brought in here, God, but I am the guy on the stage, and we do have these instruments, and we are looking up to heaven. So, Lord, would you just begin to encourage us? Just begin to speak to your people, God. Minister, lay things on their heart. Let's just block out the world for a moment. Don't be conformed, God, to this pattern, but look to heaven right now. Just begin to pray to him, church. Just even begin to thank him for when he saved you or what he delivered you from, or begin to speak over yourself. Some of you even have a hard time with that. You shame yourself. You don't think you're good enough. Well, welcome to the club, but God is good enough. Amen. Just begin to speak life. God, would you use me? Would you move? Would you minister? God, you move in the mighty, you move in the big, but God, you move in the practical. Thank you, God, for your sons and daughter, for all who are in this room. Just begin to pray, church. Just begin to lift up your voice. Begin to thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, we just lift you up. We thank you for your glory. Come on, church. Begin to worship him. Thank you, God. Thank you for those in our lives who are going to use us to reach out to as you save. Thank you, God, for the victory that you've given us over things we're going to face. Thank you, God, that in the earth, people are going to begin to come to faith. We've read the book, and we know it's finished, God. But thank you. God, I just pray for that peace, for that joy. God, that for those who struggle with anger, like for me many years, we have that self-control. For those who've been hurt or wounded, God, we just hand these things over to you. Fill us, Lord. Fill us afresh, God. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that even as we might be conservative in setting, that you begin to speak to us in those ways. Direct us with your word, Lord, but move and speak. Thank you, Jesus. Just sit and listen to God for a second. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we want that fellowship. We want that time. We want to wake up to you. See where you're leading us, God. Lord, you're faithful. You speak and you direct. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Just begin to praise him, church. Just begin to thank him. Thank you, God. You are good. Thank you, Jesus. You're the healer, God. You're the provider. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. And church, as we just begin to go into a deeper place of worship, would you just begin to sing and cry out? I want to get out the way. I don't want to make this a big scene, but just listen for him. Listen to what he wants to say and do in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Lord, I just pray, God, for marriages, for the future of this generation. We read, God, so often the statistics that the church isn't doing as good as the world, but God, she will. That God, you will anoint your people as you have, and they will go into their marriages and fight. It's not that we said we do, it's that we're going to say, I did. The Lord, you are still here to pastor marriages, to lead us, God. Help us crucify our flesh and serve our brides or serve our husbands, God. Thank you, Jesus. I just proclaim that, God, truth and victory in you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Church, stir yourself up. Begin to speak the truth about God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. We glorify you. Amen. Amen.
Guys, hope that encouraged you. Quite a topic to jump into. I'll tell you, by the second day of connecting with this college-age group of young adults, it was amazing. They had bonfires. We hung out. There was games they played. There was a lot of gathering, fellowship. And I was just blown away that in a generation where people want to ask questions like, is the Bible still relevant? Is it still God's word? Focused on very relevant topics to culture, that generation, that church was just hungry to worship, to praise, to unpack the word and take it out and love on people. So thank you guys for tuning in. 1 Corinthians 1:18 in the words of Paul, led by the Holy Spirit. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, to you if you're a believer, it is the power of God. Amen. BrianSummer.net for more. Thank you all. God bless.